Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Christopher John O'Shea is here with me tonight.
I am, sir. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you.
Open show.
Open show again. Three in a row it'll be, because last week we had an open show. Tonight we're having an open show. And next week will be another open show.
Because we had guests for a while.
We had guests for 3 weeks, so we said, no, we got to have open shows for 3 weeks. So tonight, you're the guest. Again, you get to call in and ask any question you want. Last week, Chris, we were crazy busy. I mean, it was just nonstop calls or calling in. And you can call in and direct that conversation, 410-922-6680. If you want to determine the conversation tonight, if you want to see the direction and say, you know, I want to hear about whatever, taxes. I want to hear about estate planning. I want to hear about IRAs. I want to hear about 401ks. I want to hear about estate planning. I want to hear about, I have an elderly parent and I have a Medicaid issues, you know, or whatever. If it deals with personal finances, hopefully we will be able to help you. I don't know that we have yet been stumped on any question dealing with personal finances. So, you know, if you want to call in and ask that question, tonight's your night to call in and ask the direction that you want to bring us in, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Well, we see if anybody does want to call and talk to us, and ask a question. I have something. I wrote an article just this morning, and hopefully it'll be published in about a week or two. And the article was about when you leave an old employer, what do you do with your 401k or 403b plan? Because nowadays, it's not uncommon for somebody to have 3, 4, 5 employers during their work history. And so, you know, you work somebody 3, 4, 5 years, you could accumulate $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000. And you could work another one for 5 or 10 years, you could accumulate $100,000, $125,000. And next thing you know, you're 50 some years old, you got 3 or 4 old employer plans you've accumulated, and you're doing nothing with them. And that's a mistake, in my opinion. That's just an outright mistake. But you need to be logical about that. And what do you do with them? And that's what this article deals with. And, just the very first part that I talked about was the first thing you do is identify what kind of account do I have. Do I have a 401k, 403b that's all pre-tax? In other words, I put the money in and got a tax deduction, and now it's grown tax deferred? Or did I put the money in and get an after tax, and it's growing tax free in a Roth IRA, 401k or 403b account? That's a little less common, but it's becoming more common, Roth 401k and 403b.
They are.
And then the last one is the after tax non deductible 401k contribution. That's a very rare, but it happens a lot more. There are people out there that have it.
Larger companies,
especially like here in Maryland, Northrop Grumman. Mm-hmm. If you find a Northrop Grumman employee who's been there a long time and they have a lot of money they're saving in their 401k, you're likely to find a little bit of that money is in after-tax, non-deductible status. And there's a different way you approach each one. Mm-hmm. And the article talks about that. And then the other thing is if you have company stock in your 401k, You really have to be careful before you do anything. And you hear that. Listen to me now. If you have a 401k and you have your employer stock in that 401k, or an old employer, former employer's 401k, but there's company stock in there, you need to be very careful. Make sure you have wise tax advice on that money. Do not roll any of it over until you have considered what is called net unrealized appreciation. Net unrealized appreciation is a very complex thing, and you better make sure it's done with somebody who knows how to do it and the benefits of what you do with it. So if you've worked, and we've done it many times, Lockheed Martin is a company that we find. You got to find a company that you worked with that there was a lot of appreciation in the stock. And that's a key. And that unrealized appreciation, like, you know, we had a client that worked with PayPal, and PayPal stock went up like crazy, and they left and went somewhere else. And we did an NUA distribution of that PayPal stock, and it was quite impressive. What you can do with that. You just need to understand, and if you're not familiar with that term, find somebody that is. Do not do anything with your old 401k employer plan that is got company stock in it of the employer you were working with. Or if you're with a current employer and you're accumulating stock, do not trade out of that stock if it's a highly appreciated company. In other words, if you're in a company and you have company stock and the stock's going up, a lot of people say, the stock's peaked, I don't want to continue to own it. Well, that may not be a good idea. Unless you really absolutely convinced that they're done, period. They're headed downhill.
Sure.
It's a complicated situation. This article is going to address a lot of those issues, and it's probably one of the most common questions I get asked. What do I do with all these old 401k plans that I've accumulated?
Well, sure. Almost, I don't know what percentage of companies don't have one. The smallest of companies don't, but everybody's got a 401k plan.
Yeah. Anyway, we're here on an open show tonight. Nobody's on the line yet. We're headed to our first pause, but if you want to call in and ask a question, now's the time to do it. 410-922-6680. 410-922-6680. If you want to call in, direct the conversation. Nobody's on the line, so when we come back, hopefully somebody will be on the line. 410-922-6680. Right now, I'm going to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you and your family can trust and count on for the rest of your life? The Financial Consulate, being fee only, is unable to take commissions or referral fees. We are independent of stockbrokers and insurance companies and work solely as a fiduciary in your best interest. These are the key ingredients of a professional financial advisor. If you've been wanting a second opinion, then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE, or go online to financialphysical.com to learn more. That is financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
You know, last week I was 3 for 3. Right, Chris? Yeah.
Chris is going to, he's not going to disagree with you.
No,
he's too
not
nice
gonna,
a guy.
Too nice a guy.
I'll call up Graham.
Disagree with me. I got a phone call coming in. I got to see who it is.
Probably somebody disagreeing with you.
Oh, it's like one of those prank calls or something, I guess, you know? Anyway, we don't have anybody online again. That's why I was going to answer that phone call.
There you go. Well, 922-6680 is the number. It's a clear night. People can see their phones as they're driving around. They can call.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. If you want to call in, now's the time to do it. 410-922-6680. There is one caller just came in, so we'll take them in a second or two once we find out what they're calling in about. But, you know, I was talking about inertia, Chris. Inertia is the enemy, arch enemy of personal financial planning. I can't tell you how many people come into our office to do an intro and they say to me, I've been listening to you for at least a decade and have kept meaning to call to come in and meet with you, and I just finally got around to doing it. And it's 10 years. It's 10 years. You know, I tell clients to take their money out of brick-and-mortar savings accounts and put it into an online savings account and come back and see me a year later, and they still have all their money in a brick-and-mortar savings account. I mean, it's just, you know, it's a 2% differential, a minimum of 2%. You got $50,000 in there. That's $1,000. I mean, is really $1,000 not worth it? But inertia is just a horrible thing.
We were handed to somebody last week who is very sharp about many of those things. And the difference she would have had, we figured out, was $4,500 in saving, additional interest last year alone.
And she finally, you know, at first she was like, oh, no, no, I don't, you know, are they safe? And, you know, by the time she saw $4,500, she was saying,
and FDIC insured.
She was saying, I'm going home and do that, you know. Yeah. And and we were just talking about old employer plans, you know, inertia. It's, you know, it's sitting there. I just don't know what to do with it. So I just, the easiest.
No one's
just
grabbing you by the throat.
It's just
saying,
easier
hey,
to leave it there, you
know.
You
need to do something with this.
Anyway, we'll go to Jim in Baltimore City. Wills, Jim, how can we help you?
Oh, a couple of questions. Thanks. Thanks for your show.
Yeah.
The first one has to do with, there's a new instrument. I don't know how new it is, but you open up a regular, I guess it's not a checking account, but some sort of money market account with a lot of the local banks. You get 2%, and you're allowed to draw, you have to start it with like 100 grand, but then you're allowed to draw it down on it, and they won't. They'll keep giving you 2% for whatever's in the account. Are you familiar with that, and is that a reasonable thing to do? That's the first question.
I mean, you know, if that's better than doing nothing, but you go to these online accounts that I'm talking about, and most of them have no balance requirement at all, period, from the very beginning. My Savings Direct is paying 2.4%. And you link it direct to your checking account. Ally Financial is paying 2.2%, and you can connect it direct to your checking account. And I mean, so, you know, I think it's nice that there are local banks that are starting to offer something. But why should I start off with $100,000 with them, you know, and then they'll give me 2%? These banks are offering it. You could $5,000, Jim, into these. Do you do online stuff?
Where do I find these?
Listings? Just go online. Google search this. MySavingsDirect.com. All one word. MySavingsDirect. It's not a word, actually, is it, Chris? Chris is my wordsmith. He'll tell me sooner. Oh, Drew, that's not a word. You know, anyway, MySavingsDirect.com or Ally Bank, A-L-L-Y Bank. .com. Either will work great for you. Capital One 360, that's the one I use personally.
Okay.
All that's online, great. My friend.
Thank you for that. Now, the second question is about wills.
Yeah.
I don't currently have a will. I'm 71 years old. And but it seems to me, I'm not sure whether I have to go through the exercise of a will, because most of everything that I have is basically I have accounts, and the accounts say, if you croak, where does the money go? And you assign it to...
Jim, you want to get a will. Okay. You know, and now you can just go online to LegalZoom or something. Just write a simple will that says, if I die, here's who I want it to go to if there's no beneficiary designation. I agree with you. You probably have it all covered with beneficiary designations. But I'll give you an example. You're driving along tomorrow, God forbid, and all of a sudden somebody, bam, smacks you in the rear and totally demolishes your car and
that
you.
That happened to me in November.
But you lived. You lived. And this illustration, that's why I say God forbid, is you pass away in this illustration. Your settlement for your family for your wrongful death is an estate asset. And without a will, it would be much more complicated. So one little simple document, 3-4 pages long, saying this is my will, this is all I want, boom, 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 covers any of those unforeseen circumstances where something ends up in your estate that you didn't think whatever end up in your estate. So, yes, definitely get a will.
Okay. Thanks.
And just go to LegalZoom if you don't want to spend a lot of money. You know, they'll do a fine job for you. All right, buddy?
Thank you.
All right, you take care. Good question. Very good question. Laura in Chestertown. Beautiful city. I love Chestertown.
It is. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we hear you great. It's almost like you're sitting here with Chris.
Yeah.
Terrific. Well, I was just going to say, I did use LegalZoom to make my will a few years ago, so good recommendation there. They were very simple. And my question is about Roth IRAs. I have, my husband and I both have Roth IRAs, and I heard this week from someone that you could use a Roth IRA for something other than your retirement. Like if you wanted to access the money before you had turned, and I don't know if it's 62 or 65, but you could use it for certain special things like college or like a house. And I thought that was very wrong, but I'm not sure. Do you guys?
Well, you know, here's the rules, okay, Laura? So first off, you can always access the contributions in a Roth IRA anytime you want to without penalty and without taxation. Okay, so that's number one. So I put in $5,000 a year for 10 years, and 20 years down the road, I want $20,000. I can take it out because that's less than my total contributions I put in. No taxes, no penalties. Contributions always come out of a Roth IRA first. And so that's a simple one, okay? Second one, let's say I start a Roth IRA at 25 years of age and I'm 35 years of age and I want to buy my first house. And, you know, and I need some money to pay for that house. If I've had that Roth IRA for 5 years and it meets the requirements of an exception for taking money out of an account like an IRA or a Roth, and I take that out, and I think, what is a first-time home buyer is $10,000, right?
Up to $10,000.
I can take that out, and it's tax-free, even if it's not my basis. In other words, I took my contributions out already, and I still have $20,000 or $30,000 of growth left in there. I can take that out tax-free. And so that's an option with a Roth IRA if I meet that. I can also use it for college. I think that's $10,000 also, right, Chris? $10,000 for college? Yeah, I think that's an exception.
It is an exception. Yeah. I don't know the dollar amount, but I think it is.
Yeah.
I think that amount. You can do it if a disability, of
and
course.
And if I'm fully disabled at 45 years of age, God forbid that would ever happen, I can take the money out tax-free as long as I've had the account for at least 5 years. That's the key with the Roth when I'm using one of those exceptions, and the age is 59 and a half. So that's the key age that you were referring to. But it also is 5 years. So if I'm 30 and I just start my first Roth IRA when I'm 30, and then at 33 I want to do this concept, I can't do it because I haven't had a Roth for at least 5 years.
So what you're saying is the contributions that I make are essentially accessible to me at any point?
Absolutely. 100% confident of that. No ifs, ands, or buts about it.
That's fantastic. I had no idea.
See,
growth would be if I've had it for 5 years.
Yeah, there's a charging order in Roth IRAs. There's a distribution order. The distribution order is contributions first, and they come out tax-free, penalty-free, nothing, because I've already paid taxes on it.
Right.
Second is any converted IRAs that I've done to Roth. They come out second. So I have to be careful if I've converted IRAs to Roth and I take my full contribution out, the next in line will be those conversions, and I got to understand the rules. It has to be at least 5 years from when I did my conversion. And then last is the growth in interest and dividends that I've earned on my money since I put it in there.
I see. That's fantastic. So you might have another call, but I did have one more question on something else. 529 account, but if you need to...
No, I don't have any other callers, but I do have one more thing on the Roth. If you're going to have to hold on your 529 if you're willing to hold through the break, and we can come to it. But there is one more thing on the Roth, and this is part of my article I talked about earlier. Let's say you're in a Roth 401k, and I leave the 401k and roll it to my IRA, Roth IRA, which is almost 99% of the time what you're going to do.
Sure.
With a Roth IRA, that's the operative word here, everybody listening. Roth IRA, Roth 401k goes to Roth IRA. That's Roth 401k. But the key is I got to know what my contributions were to that Roth 401k when I roll it to my Roth IRA, because that is tax-free distributions I can get out of my Roth IRA once I roll that 401k over. So I put $10,000 in a 401k Roth. Right. I roll it to my Roth IRA. I can take that $10,000 of contributions out of my IRA the minute it gets in there without penalty. I couldn't have done that in my 401k if I leave it in my old my old employer plan, because the employer plan uses a pro rata rule. Isn't that fascinating?
It is, but then there's also, if you get the clock running on a Roth outside of it, you could take out more than that too.
That's true. Anyway, you're going to hold with me, Laura, if you want.
I'd love to.
Can you, and we're going to go to traffic right now, because Chris is saying you're about 5 minutes too late, Drew. Okay, take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is a song from a commercial. I can't even remember what commercial it was. Anyway, we're on Money, Riches, and Wealth here. We're on an open show tonight, and we do have Laura online. She's going to ask another question. If you want to call in, we got plenty of time to answer your calls. 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680, if you want to call in and ask your question. So we're going to go to Laura. Laura, are you still there? Laura.
Laura couldn't hang on. She was asking
Laura, are you still there?
529 plans.
Laura, are you still there? Is Laura still there?
I'll have to check.
Okay. Oh, I don't think so anymore. Do you? Or maybe we lost her. Anyway, we're back to an open show. And so we lost Laura. Maybe she'll call back in. And maybe that's her calling back in right there. So we were talking about inertia. You know, actually, we just talked about it at the break. I had a great idea. You know, anybody who's young, anybody who has a kid out there, you should start a Roth IRA, even if it's just with $100. And the reason you're going to do that is that the five-year rule for a Roth is from the date you first opened it. So you got a kid who's 19, 20, 21 years of age, and you put $100 into a Roth for them because they have to have earnings, put $100 in a Roth in it, and 5 years later, you know, they've already passed the five-year rule. I can't tell you how many clients come into our office and they've never put a nickel into a Roth, and we have to deal with that five-year rule, you know? And it's a pain.
Almost melts your brain.
It does melt my brain. Anyway, there we go. Laura's online. Laura, how can we help you again?
Thanks so much. I wanted to ask about 529 accounts.
Yep.
My kids each have one through the T. Rowe Price program that the state of Maryland offers, which has been great because the fees are very low.
And you know what, Laura? What? You did the right thing. Anybody listening right now that doesn't have the Maryland 529 plan and you live in Maryland, you're being smoked by somebody, because the Maryland 529 plan is a great plan, number one, and you get the tax deductions, and you and your husband have reaped tax deductions for putting it in there, right?
We have. What's funny is I was pregnant with my son, and literally as soon as I came back from maternity leave, one of my coworkers said, open the T. Rowe Price right now. You have to do it right now, and you won't regret it. And we've enjoyed the tax deduction and contributed for our daughter, too. So, yes, that was
sure.
Great advice.
That's great.
Yes.
Go ahead.
So the question I have then, we have another 529 that a relative started that's a separate account. So we have two different things for both children, so they each have, you know, we have four accounts. And so I'm just curious, because my son has expressed interest in some of the service academies, and so he's still a long way off from making a decision, but I'm just thinking, I know the money can be transferred to another child or be used by a parent, but let's say everybody gets all the education they could possibly ever get and there's money still. Is there a big penalty to take it out for something that's not education, or can you give me the idea about the rules there?
So, okay, so the rules there are pretty friendly, actually. So first off, if your son did go to an academy, let's say, or got scholarships, et cetera, you can withdraw money from a 529 plan, and let's say you put $10,000 in, so that's your contribution, and let's say it grew to $15,000, that's your earnings, all right? If the child had scholarships and so forth to pay for their college, you can withdraw that $15,000. You'll pay nothing on the first 10. You'll pay no penalties on the first 10 because that's your contribution. Now, the charging order or the distribution order of a 529 plan is not the same as a Roth. It does a pro rata distribution. So, in other words, if I have $10,000, $15,000 in there, 10's contributions, 5 are earnings, I can't take just the 10 contributions out. If I take out 10, it'll be 2/3 contributions, 1/3 earnings. It's a pro rata rule. So that's a little different. But if I have scholarships, I'm not going to pay a penalty on the earnings. I'm just going to have to report it as ordinary income, like I were withdrawing from an IRA or an annuity. So it's not a horrible scenario if a child had scholarships and so forth. There's no penalty on the earnings. But the key here, Laura, is that you could leave that money in there forever. You can let it just continue. You can take it back and put it yourself as the account holder. And then if you have grandchildren, you can switch that account to the grandchildren. And there's a lot of analysis has been done on 529 plans to say that they actually have a more positive impact than putting your money into these annuities where people are reaping huge commissions and fees off of you, as opposed to the incredibly low-cost 529 plans and just leaving the money in there and continuing to accumulate it. And more than likely, you're going to be able to distribute it with very little in penalties. Maybe worst-case scenario, you pay taxes on it.
Oh, thank you. That's really helpful.
Yeah. So I don't think you have much to worry about there. But, you know, the key to 529s is keeping track of all the expenses and knowing what the expenses are. And a lot of people don't do that. And the other thing is to always keep in mind that you don't distribute too much money from the 529 plans when your children are going to college, and that you come up with a strategy to take advantage of the American Opportunity Credit in those first 4 years your children go to school. So let's say I have a child and their tuition is $15,000 and another 10 for room and board, so it's $25,000. I'm going to want my client to do no more than $20,000 out of that 529 plan. I want the last 5 basically to be paid with for cash, and then I'm going to figure out how to get the American Opportunity Credit either for the parents, or I'm going to figure out how to get it in the child's name and lock that money in. And there are a lot of cool strategies you can use to do that. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's really helpful.
Good question. Great 2 questions. Thank you for your call. All right. We're on an open show, Chris. We have no callers online. Now Laura's gone, Jim gone. You know, we've had 2 tonight. And it's funny, you know, last week we had all kinds of callers. Tonight we've had 2.
Sure. But,
but they were great.
Great
calls,
so,
you know, for great
a while.
Questions.
Right. We've got a break coming up here.
Yeah, we do have a break. But I just want to reiterate again what I said earlier. And that is that anybody who doesn't have a Roth IRA set up, and they have earned income either for their children or for themselves or whatever, you should set up a Roth IRA with at least $100. I did that for my mother years ago. You know, she didn't have a Roth, even though she's 80-some years old. I took $100 out of her IRA, converted it to a Roth, and, you know, and I'm just sitting on it because I want that 5 years rule to have been gone, and it's
sure.
Gone, you know?
Yep.
Anyway, we got to go to traffic. We're here on an open show. If you want to call in while we're on this traffic break, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. Take it away, traffic.
This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your financial physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
What'd you say? Sherry Baby. Sherry. It's the Beach Boys. Anyway, you know, I thought it was really...
It's from the 60s.
I thought it was really mean of you to try to use commercial soundtracks to try to trick me up there, you know? And it didn't even work, you know? Anyway, who was that?
Sean Dells.
That was actually the Monkees, a little bit of me, a little bit of you. But, Chris, it was written by Neil Diamond.
Mickey.
Mickey Dolenz. Mike Nesmith.
Peter
Tork.
Davy Jones.
And Davy Jones. That's right. You know, I remember them. That was a show I used to watch as a kid, you know. Anyway.
Many moons ago. We have 10 minutes left, so we have several open phone lines, Drew.
We have all open phone lines.
Okay.
410-922-6680 if you want to call and ask a question. If not, don't worry. I've got things to talk about. So Laura brings up a great point, and she brought up 529 plans, okay? So here's something that we see quite often, all right? There are listeners out there. Even though they're not calling in, they're still listening. There's at least five people out there listening. And
that's what the statistics tell us.
And at least one of them has a 529 plan in a state fund other than
Maryland.
And there's two or three funds in the country that pay commissions to salespeople for selling those funds. And so those salespeople don't recommend the Maryland 529 plan. They recommend the plan that they say, you know, hey, I gave this guy advice and this is how I make my money. I make commissions and I ain't going to make a commission unless they use the Virginia plan or unless they use the Alaska plan. And if they do, they're going to get a commission. And so they sell those plans. And, you know, here's the strategy. I take those plans and let's say they've accumulated $20,000 per child in these plans that somebody's making commissions on, I move it to the Maryland 529 plan. They dramatically lower their costs. They get rid of the commissions.
Good
and
funds.
Maryland still gives them a Maryland state income tax deduction for the rollover money. So think about that. Two children, $20,000 per child rolled over into the Maryland plan. They're going to get a $5,000, assuming they're married, they're going to get a $5,000 deduction per year for 4 years. It's rolled over for four. It would be rolled over for 10 years if you had $50,000 in there.
Sure.
But and all they're doing is canceling the plan that somebody's taking a commission on, doing a better plan that's cheaper, and still getting the tax deduction. It's a great,
and
love
getting
doing
a good
it.
Rate of return because they're good funds.
They're very good. Material Price does a great job. We got some callers calling in here, Chris, so we better
squeeze them in now.
Well, I don't know. I don't have, Chris hasn't given them over to me, so we lost one of them. And we're back. So anyway, that's 529 plan. That's a 529 plan strategy that we highly recommend that you look at and consider. If you've got money in another state plan, cancel it, roll it into the Maryland 529 plan, get your Maryland state income tax deduction up to $5,000 per year, $2,500 per person. So if I have two children and I'm married, that's two of us, $2,500 each. One child, $5,000. Second child, $5,000. That's $10,000, Chris. You know what that equals in Maryland income taxes? $850 or so.
And since Maryland is not increasing deductions, but, you know, they increase them, but not even as much as their neighbor, Washington, D.C. On their tax return, it's hard to get
a
money
deduction
back from the
like
state
that,
of Maryland.
Right.
That's right.
Anyway, Michael and Glenarm, how can we help you?
Hi, good evening. I just wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about the role of the specialist in the New York Stock Exchange, given the fact that we have computers now. I'm just kind of wondering what these fellows are up to.
Well, the specialists are becoming less and less important on the New York Stock Exchange, but they're, you know, because a lot of it now is being done. So, you know, what you're asking about is the specialists in the old days used to be the one that you would go to on the floor. If you were a broker for Charles Schwab and Company, you would go to the specialist for AT&T, and you'd say, I got a client who wants to sell 1,000 shares, and the specialist would be conducting the auction for AT&T. And other people would be there, and they would be coordinating a buy and sell through that specialist. But if there wasn't somebody to sell and you wanted to buy, the specialist was forced to sell to you. Mm-hmm. And if there was nobody to buy your stock, the specialist was forced to buy the stock from you. They kept an orderly market, and it was always about an eighth of a point that you would have to, you know, you would move, and the specialist could only make a big swing in the stock if there was literally nobody to trade, and they knew there wasn't going to be anybody for a while. They could ask for a temporary halt and realign the buyers and the sellers. But
they knew that there were days they were going to take it on the chin.
But there were other days they were
making easy money.
But the specialist, Chris, was designed in a way that he was the ultimate buy low and sell high. If you think about it, he's always buying when somebody wants to sell, no matter how low that stock's going. He's constantly buying. And when somebody wants to sell, he's constantly selling. And if the stock had an upward trajectory over the long term, he was ultimately always buying low and selling high. I mean, it was a rigged market for
capitalism.
The specialists in
and
a lot of ways,
that,
Michael.
A lot of that is replaced by
the computers,
high-frequency traders.
High-frequency traders and so forth. So the specialist position is becoming far less important. I don't even personally know how many, if there are that many specialists left on the stock exchange. Well, there probably are, because every stock still has limit orders and stop orders. So the specialist would also coordinate the limit and the stop orders. So what do I mean by that? So, you know, Michael, you have Google, and you think, Google's getting really pricey, and I don't want to take a chance that it's going to come out with a bad earnings report and my stock's going to collapse. So you might go to the New York Stock Exchange and say, put a stop under Google at $1,200 a share, and if it hits that, sell my stock for me. And it's the specialist who keeps track of those limit orders and those stop orders and those stop limit orders. And so they're more than likely they're still there, and that's probably their main function now.
Okay. So are you saying that they were able to trade not only for themselves but also as a representative of the company? As almost like two separate entities?
No, they only traded for themselves, but they were they were the one that was forced to keep an orderly market for that stock. And they represented only a handful of companies. You know, a specialist might have represented 10 companies or 5 companies or something like that. You know, they could only, they had a designated company they would represent. And that specialist's job was to keep an orderly market, always buying when there was no buyer at an eighth of a point higher, or and always selling at an eighth of a point lower if there was no one there to sell.
Right. Okay.
But their main job now is to keep track of stop orders and limit orders and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So it's definitely, it's a big difference in the old days.
Yeah, very big difference. Anyway, good question.
Thank you, sir.
We ought to have somebody on, Chris, talking about the trading mechanisms and, you know, because the NASDAQ NASDAQ trades very different. NASDAQ, there are people who are market makers. They have like an inventory of Google stock, let's say. And if you want to buy Google, you would go to them and say, you know, how much you're willing to sell me Google for, you know, or how much are you willing to buy Google for, you know, and you buy and sell from that market maker, kind of like going to a grocery store almost. They have an inventory of stocks or bonds that you buy and sell from. So it's a very different market. But now that's very much going to the auction type, where the computers are linking the buyers and the sellers up.
Right, but the high-frequency traders are really trading ahead. Now, the you don't have an eighth anymore, 12 and a half cents. Yep. You've got a penny, so
yep.
It's not as bad, but there's still, dark pools. And read Flash Boys, the book.
You always like that. Michael Lewis.
Your buddy, Michael Lewis.
Michael Lewis, who thought President Obama was the greatest thing since sliced bread, you know? I mean, hey, I like Michael Lewis. I like a lot of his writings, but
sure.
His political opinions were
Well, I don't read him for his political opinions. I read him for
his
insights.
He's a great writer. Yeah, he's a great writer. Anyway, Chris, we're out of time again.
It's an open show next week, Drew.
An open show next week. Hopefully our callers will show up, but there were three great callers today, so
and you
a lot of great
information.
I shared a lot of neat ideas. Anyway, I got a lot of articles to write. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.
Jolly people you love with love. Show them the way you feel. Things are gonna be much better.